Now, the last part of this class, which I wanted to end with, is the miracle of the Holy Quran. So, the miracle of the Holy Quran. One of the characteristics of the definition of the Holy Quran is that it is inimitable. It is not able to be copied. It is a miracle. And this is called the ijaz of the Holy Quran. This is a characteristic called ijaz. The ijaz is an essential feature of the Holy Quran, and it refers to the inability and uniqueness of the book such that no other book can mimic it. That's what we mean by the miracle of the Holy Quran. The Prophet ﷺ said to his companions, every single prophet has been given miracles which led people to believe in them. Every single prophet was bestowed a miracle which led people to believe in that prophet. I was given divine inspiration as my miracle, so I hope my followers will outnumber the followers of all other prophets on the Day of Judgment. Because the miracle that Musa alayhi salam did when he separated the river and all the other things that he did with his staff, those only a small group of people were able to witness. And so they became his followers, and then subsequently they were not those people. The miracles that the previous prophets performed, they were for a particular group of people. The miracle of the Prophet ﷺ was the fact that the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was preserved. And that was bestowed upon not only the people that were present before the Prophet ﷺ, but also for the subsequent generations that were to come after them. And so that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, every single prophet was given a miracle or a set of miracles in order to cause people to believe in him. My miracle was divine inspiration. It will continue until the Day of Judgment. So I am hopeful that my followers will outnumber all the other followers of the prophets on the Day of Judgment. Because our miracle is continuous. Our miracle, the miracle of the Prophet ﷺ, is present in the house of every single Muslim. Now, there are various aspects of the miracle of the Quran. There are various aspects of the book that make it so miraculous. Number one is the language and the style of the Quran. The language, the linguistics of the Quran make it a miracle. And the proof of this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in several places within the book challenges the people and says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِّمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ أَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِ وَدْءُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَاتَّقُوا النَّارُ الَّتِي وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْكَافِرِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you have some doubt about the book that I am revealing, then produce something like it. Bring something that's similar to it. And call all of your people together and try to produce something like it. Not only can you not do so, you will never be able to do so. And therefore you should accept the book, and then the ayah continues. So this is the proof of its miracle. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stood up and challenged all of humanity to produce something like it. And no one has ever been able to do so up until now. And no one will ever be able to do so. And look at the way the challenge is being phrased, subhanAllah. فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا And if you have not been able to do so, and you will never be able to do so. Now think about it this way. If you go to your chemistry teacher, after you finish an exam, and you say, here, find a mistake. Find a mistake in this exam. After you write the exam, imagine how the teacher will respond. They'll say, well, I'm going to look at this case test twice and pick out a mistake. And then if you say, find a mistake, you're never going to find a mistake. He's going to sit there and look at that test until he finds a mistake. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is challenging humanity. One thing Allah is saying, you can't do it. And then he's saying, you'll never be able to do it. And still, despite the enormity of this challenge, no one in mankind, despite their greatness of their linguistic ability, has ever been able to copy the linguistics of the Quran. Forget about the content. The content in and of itself is supreme. Just the linguistic style of the Holy Quran. So that's the first and foremost miracle of the Quran. The second miracle is the fact that it would prophesize future events. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, states in Surah Rum, غُلِبَتِ الرُّومِ فِي أَدْنَى الْأَرْضِ وَهُمْ مِنْ بَعْضِ غَلَبِهِمْ سَيَغْلِبُونَ What happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that there were two major powers. One was the Persians and the other was the Romans. the Persians and the Romans, these were the major powers at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would often battle one another, and often it would come up in a deadlock and no one would win the battle. The Sahaba and the early believers, they took sides with the Romans, because the Romans were at least people of the book. And the Kuffar, they tended to psychologically side with the Persians. So when there was a battle and the Romans would win, the Sahaba would become happy. And they would say, SubhanAllah, Allah helped the people of the book over the idol, over the people of fire worship. And when the people of fire worship would overcome, the Kuffar would become happy. And they would say, SubhanAllah, or they would say, this is a proof that Allah is not helping, but the worshipping of other things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had power and came into play here. On one occasion, the Persians defeated the Romans to such an extent that they went into their capital, which was Jerusalem, and they ransacked the place. They completely trashed the Romans in this battle. And they had no hope. The Romans had no hope. They had completely been overtaken. The Sahaba became very dejected at this. Very dejected, because the Kuffar were now saying, look, where is your Allah? Where is your help? No one helped these people of the book. And so they became very, very dejected with this event. What happened then was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recited these ayat. And in these ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Rome has been conquered. Rome has been defeated in a particular place on the earth. But after a few years, they will become the ones who will re-defeat the Persians. And that was unimaginable at that time. Let me give you an example. It's easy to understand in this day and age. If I say to you, the Soviets have been defeated, but in a few years, the Soviet Union will defeat the United States, you would all say, there's no way. There's no way that could happen. That's unimaginable. The Soviet Union's been completely wiped out. It's all broken up and fragmented. Their economy is disjointed. They have no power. They can't even suppress rebellion within their own land. How will they be able to defeat the United States, the superpower of the world at this point? But that's exactly what occurred at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Romans were so defeated that there was no hope for them to retake and reconquer their lands. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prophesied the event, and then within a few years it actually occurred. Fi bid'i sinin, just within a few years, less than 10. And in fact, 7 years later, the Romans actually conquered the Persians and defeated them. So that was a future prophecy which existed within the Holy Quran. So only the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could prophesy something that made no sense to the people of that time. And not only that, but they lived through it and they watched the prophecy come through. The third is the effect, the third miracle of the Holy Quran is the effect of the Quran on the hearts of people. SubhanAllah, this is one of the most unique aspects of the Holy Quran. What did the kuffar used to say about the words of the Holy Quran? What was their description? They used to say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا سِحْرٌ يُؤْثَرُ. Verily, these words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites, they are nothing but magic. Why? Because they would see that there would be these people who were completely lost and misguided. They would fight with one another. They would kill their daughters. They would become drunk with alcohol. They would waste their nights in song and dance. And they would hear a few ayat of the Holy Quran, and their lives would change to such a degree that they would begin to pray tahajjud all night. And they would begin to share their wealth. And they would begin to change everything about them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They said, this is not any kind of normal word. Normal speech does not change human beings from one extreme to the other. But this is some type of magic. There is something magical about these words. The kuffar themselves. The kuffar themselves called the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which flew from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, magical. Because of the effect that they had on the sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. SubhanAllah, these words are magical. These words do change people's hearts. If a person's heart is ready to receive, and that person is willing to make the change, then these words will change someone's heart. And look how they changed the sahaba. They changed everything about them. It changed the way they thought. It changed the way they interacted with one another. It changed their dreams. It changed their aspirations. That's a big deal. It's easy to change somebody's mind, but for them to change their aspirations, their goal. They no longer chased the goods of this world, and their eyes were placed on the hereafter because of the effects of these words. So subhanAllah, there is a power in these words which no other words have. And this power does not only affect a group of people in the Arabian Peninsula who understand the language of the Quran, but it transcends. It enters Malaysia, Singapore, India, all these places throughout the world where the language is not even spoken. It transcends beyond linguistic understanding, and it enters into the hearts of varying cultures and varying people throughout the entire world, and changes nations. Not people, not families, not cities, nations. That's the power of this word. When somebody inculcates it within them, they become a group of people who change nations. SubhanAllah. Despite the fact that they didn't even understand the Arabic language, it had such an effect that it would just change these people, or it affected people in such a way that their character would then go out and change other people. So that's the third miracle of the Holy Quran. The fourth miracle of the Holy Quran is the fact that its descriptions fall in line with natural science, number one, and number two, they don't contradict natural science. So there's two separate issues here. Number one, you don't find any contradictions of the Holy Quran with natural science, despite the fact that over 1400 years, natural science has made incredible progress. The scientific revolution that's occurred over the past 500 years, that has completely flipped the knowledge of mankind. In fact, the knowledge of mankind doubles every 2 or 3 years in the realm of science, and the Quran still maintains its level of truth and still completely conforms with all scientific thinking in this day and age. Almost all. And whatever it doesn't conform with, those theories will eventually be proven false. That's the history of science. Where a theory arose in the history of science and it contradicted the Quran in the history of the Quran, eventually that theory was shattered and a new theory took its place through scientific revolution. That's the miracle of the Holy Quran. Number one, it doesn't contradict. And number two, it actually supports. One thing is to not contradict, and number two is to support. In fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Don't they contemplate on the Quran? وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدَ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ. And if it was revealed from someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. They would have found many discrepancies within it. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't they think about the Qur'an? We're not like the other deens. We're not like the non-Muslims where they say, well, you just have to believe. We don't live in a box of darkness. Allah says, open your eyes. Look at the world. Explore it. Interact with it. Study it. And you will only find that it verifies the Holy Qur'an. We don't live in a dark box. Allah doesn't tell us to live behind shades. Allah challenges us. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Don't they consider and contemplate and reflect upon the depth of this book? That's because it's been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the universe. He created the laws of the universe. And the Quran is a representation of the ultimate reality of the universe. So in the end, if science truly seeks the truth of the universe, it will only lead the people to the doorstep of Islam. There's no other way. Allah created the universe and He revealed the Qur'an. The Qur'an is merely the laws of the universe outlined in words that we can understand. They're all congruent together. And we don't have time, but you could literally have a whole 5-day series on just the scientific miracles within the Holy Qur'an. For example, the Holy Qur'an describes the fact that everything is made from water. Who 1400 years ago would have been able to tell you that every single thing is made from water? It's only today that we've realized that 90% of our bodies are made from water. And that all other organisms, water is the majority component of every living organism. It's today that we learn these things. It's in this scientific revolution that we've come up with this knowledge. Furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes embryology in beautiful detail. Beautiful detail. In fact, when I was in the first year of medical school, there's a book that we study in embryology called The Developing Human by Kenneth Moore. In that book, Kenneth Moore outlines the embryology that he was able to compile through modern science. And he says in his introduction, He says that I read the description of embryology in the Holy Quran, and I began to use the terms of the Quran in my teaching of embryology. This is what he himself says. The master of embryology, which almost every medical school in the United States and Canada uses his book to teach embryology, he himself says that exactly as I found the descriptions of the Quran of embryology, those same terms I began to borrow in my study of embryology. And it's beautiful because in his introduction, he goes through the science of the history of embryology. He says the Greeks used to think that the fetus is just created as this tiny human being which eventually grows. But he then eventually reaches the Quran and he describes what the Quran says about embryology and shows that the Quran describes the fact that it's a little clot, and that clot has three layers, and those three layers eventually clothe the new human being, etc., step by step by step, and it's all described in the Holy Quran. Amazing. That Holy Quran, which does not even describe the Salah, you can't find how to pray anywhere in the Holy Quran, that same Quran is describing the ultimate reality of the universe by describing the in-depth detail of the stages of embryology. And again, that's a separate discussion, but the point is that this is the miracle of the Holy Quran. That it describes the laws of nature and what exists in nature exactly as it truly is, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is both the creator of nature as well as the revealer of this holy book.